You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock, Nim.
Listen, we've been married for 22 years.
22.
We keep it real.
Keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
And this is Marriage Takeover. Listen, Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
We are in 2021 and excited about what great and amazing things are going to take place
yes.
this year.
Yes, vision time.
And we're going to go ahead and get things started.
We're going to get back into it.
In 2020 with the last podcast of the marriage vows,
right.
Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to cover part 3.
Right. Hopefully we can end it today.
So if you are tuning in for the first time, I want you to do us a favor. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and that notifications button so that you know whenever we're releasing new content.
Yep.
If you are listening to us on the podcast for the first time, please leave us a review and make sure that you subscribe. And if you are watching on YouTube and IG, we thank you so much for your support. So please make sure that you follow us. Stay connected. Get connected.
Stay connected.
And we so very much appreciate all of you who have supported us throughout the years. Thank you so much.
Through the years, y'all been good to us. Through the years.
And if you're tuning in for the first time, my husband is a nutcase, so this is normal.
This is the day.
So seriously, we do want to thank you. We really appreciate you.
We bow in your presence.
If there is some content that you would like to hear, that you would like for us to be able to cover, or for us to just kind of talk.
Put it in the comments. Send us an email.
All right? You can connect with us at www.marriagetakeover.com, marriagetakeover@gmail.com, or IG and Facebook and Twitter on Marriage Takeover.
Boom. All them places. Hit us there.
So we're going to go ahead and get started, right? So thanks so much for tuning in.
We're going to jump in there. But real quick, because it's the new year, I hope that you all went ahead and, you know what I'm saying, started playing your vision that you as a couple or even as a family would like to accomplish, because it's a new year. This is 2021.
2021, y'all.
So we're going to go ahead and get this part 3 about your vows. Praise the Lord, the vows.
All right, so we left off on a set of vows. If you haven't listened to part 1 and part 2, go back and listen to
check
part
them out.
1 and 2.
So you can catch up with us.
We're going to pick up on part 3 of the next set of vows. Mm-hmm. So this is where the pastor or the minister who is marrying the couple is asking the groom. And the bride and groom, they really are kind of the same.
The same.
They really are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the next set of vows is, will thou have this woman or this man to be thy wedded wife or husband, to live together
after, to have and to hold
to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony.
In the holiest state of matrimony.
Why would it break it down in the holiest state of matrimony?
In the holiest state of matrimony.
So it's interesting that they...
What's your take?
And granted, so if you're listening to us for the first time, again, we do things in a biblical perspective. These are not the only set of vows that are available.
No, it's not.
This is just one set. So you can find various variations.
There's a whole bunch of them.
So from this particular perspective, why would it say in ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? So when you are in a holy estate... So that's not talking about, so I'm also a realtor. So that's not saying this is a piece of property or this is something that you are carrying down from, you know, a real piece of property as an estate that you're carrying down or finances or different things that are going to be in an estate when somebody passes. This is saying, listen, this is in a holy estate. So this is a holy
estate.
This is a holy state of your life. This is a holy state of everything that you do from this place forward.
Right.
Your marriage.
Right.
Everything that you do should line up and should be holy. It should be
holy.
Your conversations, how you love each other, how you correct each other, how you spend your finances, how you make decisions, how you communicate, how you raise your children, how you encourage one another. It should be in a holy state of holiness, in a state
holiest.
Because everything that you do, your life, your blueprint,
right.
They're saying now, whatever you've done up until this point, allow your marriage now to take the form of the holy estate.
And the thing is, because when you look at it, when you sit back and actually take a moment and look at marriage, I'm not responsible for her happiness. She's not responsible for my happiness.
Right, right.
But our love should reflect the joy of Christ. That's the holiest estate of our marriage.
And not only should the marriage represent the joy of your life, but also to remember that your marriage really is a replication of the love that Jesus, that God has for us children.
Right, for us.
For his bride.
Right.
So everything that we do should line up with that. So if we take it back to the scripture. And
you want
to
take it back?
I didn't know. You take it back to the scripture where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church, and he died for it. Right? What's that scripture reference? Because I want to make sure that I give you all.
Is that Ephesians? Is Ephesians 5? Go to your Bibles.
I know. I get so locked into it. But I want you to understand that in that, you have to make sure that you understand when the scripture is saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. There's a reason why the pastor is asking the groom these things before he's asking the wife or the wife-to-be. So the husbands have to make sure that they are lining up and aligning with what the scripture reference says.
But, right. Go ahead. I'm with you.
And how he should love his wife as Christ loved the church. Because here's the thing. Christ loved us, loves the church so much to a point to where, and that's why he said into a holy estate. Because you can't possibly love me, care for me, take care of me, be the priest, the prophet, and the king in the home, and do all those things when you're not in a holy estate. Because let's be real, like, we're human. I'm gonna piss you off. He gonna piss you off. We gonna piss each other off. We just not gonna agree all the time.
Yesterday.
Right. Things are not going to line up like it's supposed to line up.
Right.
So once we get to that blueprint of saying, okay, the holy estate or in the holy estate of your matrimony, then what we have to understand is that is what differentiates us from having a covenant versus a contract.
But, you know, I know you went to Ephesians 5 and 25, but when you look at 5 and 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Meaning what? In the respect or in the ordinance of God. Here, that word means fear, not as in trembling, but as in a sense of reverence of God. And so when you look at the holy estate, that starts right now with submitting to one another. Because of who God is, and you're in the holiest place with your marriage.
Right. Is that where their scripture reference was, though? Because I want to make sure Ephesians 5 is where it said husbands loved your wives.
Yeah, Ephesians 5 and 25.
5 and 25. So I want to make sure I gave them the scripture reference for that.
All right. I had already told you.
You said 5. I don't think you said
first. I said Ephesians 5 and 25.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we're going to go up to 20.
I didn't hear you. Yeah, okay. 21. So I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
It's all good. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. That's one of the moments when you have to remember it's the holy estate. Praise the Lord. Continue.
Right. So the holy estate, and to understand that, because I'm telling y'all.
Your vows will be challenged. Oh, you, man, your vows will be challenged. You can count on it.
And the holy estate of matrimony, right? So will thou love her?
Oh.
Comfort her.
Whoa.
Honor her.
Whoa.
And keep her in sickness and in health.
Hold on, time out. Will you honor him and keep him?
Yes.
In sickness and in health.
And comfort him.
And comfort him. Will you? Come on, guys. Both ways.
Right.
Both. And keep. She said him and her the first time. Now it's just him. I'm trying to make sure you understand it's going both ways. You see what I'm dealing with, don't you, America? Come on.
To keep her or
world,
him
praise the Lord.
In sickness and in health, and forsaking all others.
Forsaking all others.
Keeping thee only unto her.
Whoop.
Or to him.
Come on.
So as long as you both shall live. So that keep thee only to her, unto her, or to him. Y'all, that's talking about.
Oh, time out. No, we ain't for the bypass. All of that in the beginning.
Okay, well, hurry up. Let's go.
I need to grab mine.
To love her, comfort her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others.
So, look at that. So, it's comforting.
Uh-huh.
It's what?
Honoring.
Loving.
And keeping.
So, it's, give it to me again.
Love.
Comfort.
Honor.
And keep. That sounds like respect to me, because when you respect someone, you have no problem with loving them, comforting them, keeping them. cherishing them, honoring them.
That's true, but I think that when you say that sounds like respect, I think that your definition to respect might be different than my definition.
Well, let's just look at what Webster say about that.
So when you think about even understanding what Webster says, how you've grown up, how you've experienced respect or disrespect also plays a part into how you define respect for your life.
Well, you can only define respect in the order of what the word is. Now, how you read, but how you receive, because everybody is different based on the upcoming.
That's why it's a little different. But when you say honor, that means that you honor in sickness and in health. That means you honor regardless of what takes place. That means you honor them regardless of whether they made the decision you wanted them to make or they didn't. That means you honor them if they make a mistake, if they don't make a mistake.
So, question is, so let's say, like you had mentioned earlier, about the respect, right?
Yeah, look up respect.
So, if you was brought up and don't know what comforting is, or if you was brought up and didn't know what love is,
right,
or if you was brought up and did not know what keeping is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, now, how do I understand what this is now that I want to go and get married, and now that I am married?
You have to understand what that is for you. So respect is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements.
Sound like honor and respect to me. Talking about comfort and all that.
It says deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, their qualities, or their achievements. And then it also has due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, or traditions of others. It's that was the noun. The verb is to admire.
Ooh,
to admire deeply. No, that's different.
That sounds
to admire deeply as a result of their abilities, qualities, or achievements. And here's why I say you have to it's defined differently, because
I got
to
consider
women,
worthy of high regard,
which is admire.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But you have to understand how it reflects and how what it looks like in a relationship, right? Because if somebody is in a relationship and they see they have these uncommunicated expectations of their spouse.
Ooh, don't hit me, baby. Ooh, don't hit me. Don't hit me, honey. Y'all saw it.
So when they have these uncommunicated expectations of their spouse,
right,
what happens is when they don't meet that expectation, when they don't meet that level, when they don't meet that standard,
right,
then there is that space of disrespect. Because you can't admire somebody who's not meeting.
Yeah, that's not meeting that.
Your standards.
Or when you have those moments and you didn't take that time to set boundaries, because
right,
then you're missing comfort, then you're missing
right,
the love, then you're missing all of these things. Because granted, yeah, you have to understand, yes, the two shall become one, but you are still your own person. I'm still my
right,
own person.
That's why.
And so I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
She cut me off.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
But it's like you're still your own person. So it's like when you have those boundaries. When you set those boundaries, it's that thing, because that's what says, okay, hey, if I know that you're sad, because as the scripture tells us, it says, weep with those that weep, mourn with those that mourn, rejoice with those that rejoice. So in this time, you know what I'm saying, if you're feeling down, then I don't hold it against you, I give you comfort. Or if it comes to that time, what was the other one? But if it comes to either of those moments, okay, hey, yeah, I want to let you know that I got you. That's that keeping, letting each other know, like, yo, I'm your security net. I got
right,
you.
Right.
But also at the same time, it's like, yo, you still have to be able to respect the boundary. And that's one thing I come to recognize, that a lot of couples do not take the time to get an understanding of one another's boundaries.
Right. But that's why. So you said a lot of stuff, but it didn't correlate back to respect. So I just wanted to make sure that we were clear that it's different.
See what I'm talking about?
Respect is different, because I want to make sure.
I thought she admired what I was saying.
I admired you, baby.
I don't see any high regards on that one.
I just want to make sure that it's very clear that we don't offer the misrepresentation of what respect is and how it shows up and it looks differently for different people.
But it's
because that's, I can honor you and then see and still not respect you.
But then that's the thing. Because you gotta understand.
Because I can honor you outside of the home, but not respect you in the home.
But that's the thing. See, a lot of people understand stuff, everything starts at home. So yeah. If you don't respect your spouse at home, guess what? It's gonna happen outside the home. If you don't respect your husband, your wife, if your kids are disrespectful, guess what? If it shows all that in the house, it's going to show outside the house. Now, you might try to paint a picture, but then let you be aggravated. That picture just is gone now.
That's
but,
why I said it. That's not an identification of respect. Okay. Love, comfort, honor, keep. Now, it can lead up to respect, but it's not respect. It's not the same.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I just went a little bit deeper because...
It's not the same.
Because you look at it because...
Now, those do lead to respect. Because if I, as the wife, will honor him, will love him, will comfort him, will keep him in sickness and in health, that will absolutely lead to respect.
Exactly. Because then you won't be... What's that Tyler Perry movie? The one when he disrespected her, but then he got into an accident... It was paralyzed, and she
was that. I could do bad all by myself.
I don't know. It's one of the moves when the
one
dude,
of those, yeah.
And when the dude, because he so disrespected her so yeah. bad, but then the moment he became ill and had to be taken care of, she showed all that stuff back to him.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, it's like, okay, how can I let you know that we're one? Because understand, if you're one, if one hurt, the other one hurt.
Right. That's how
it should
work.
Right. And so it's like, yo, we got to kind of, that means that if you're down, that means I got to pick it up because now I got to pull more weight. Right. If I'm down, same thing, you know, vice versa. But if we've been honoring one another, cherishing one another, being there for one another.
Yeah, it's easier.
It's a lot easier yeah. because then you don't look at it as a burden.
Right. It's much easier to do that.
It's that, hey, yo, this is what I do. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
And forsaking all others.
And forsaking. Leave all that crap outside alone, basically. Period. A lot of people want to take everything with them. You can't take everything into this. As a traditional in the African American weddings, they like to jump the broom. When you jump that broom, shouldn't nothing be jumping with you. You know what I'm saying? Forsaking all others.
Well, not only that, but I think too, there are some times where you have to understand in your relationship where you get to a point of maturity because your marriage may not look like somebody else's marriage in your family or in your friend line or in your circle.
Forsaking all others.
That is another representation of forsaking all others because there are times where you share things that somebody might get jealous.
Right.
There are times where you share things that people might share, spread your news, spread your business. There are things that everybody's not able to handle or to offer you wisdom and guidance through the things that you're dealing with in your marriage.
Right.
So forsaking all others means to forsake all others.
Right. You leave it alone. You know, it's one thing is, you know, when it comes down to like advice and stuff, because, you know, everybody asks for it. It's cool. But you got to be able to chew the meat and spit out the bone because right. everything won't work for everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, hey, if they say, oh, if I need to lose weight and all I'm hearing from my trainer is that, oh, I got to work out, but I'm staying the same. But then it's like, oh, you might want to change your meal plan. Okay, so if I change my meal plan, I'm dropping the weight that I need to. You think I'm going to go work out? No, I might get walking or something. But you understand what I'm saying? Right. I had to leave that alone. I had to take what works, what was working best for my situation.
Right.
And so, and at the same time, forsaking all others, you got to remember when you forsake others, I mean you're keeping number one, number one.
And that's a good segue into keep thee only unto her.
Boom.
Keep thee only unto him. That means that y'all, that's it.
It's just y'all.
I know that some other people and some other marriages and, you know, however you do what you do.
How you do your thing.
But that means that there is no open marriage.
That most means holiest.
That we are keeping each other for one another.
Most holiest. Hello.
That means that my body is his body is my body, and that's it. That ain't everybody else's body. That ain't everybody else to be smacking on the cheeks. And you can smack my cheek. That no. That ain't none of that.
That was a lot. We ain't breaking that back.
That was the last episode.
That's the last episode. That one. You got to go back in here if you want to catch the joke.
That's what that means. So as long as you both shall live.
Mm-hmm. As long as you both shall live. And you know, one thing about that piece as well, that's where boundaries come into play.
Right.
Because when you're just to yourself, that means you marry into my family, but you don't marry my family. That's what, so it's, oh, well, no, you know, that's not what it is. It's us. Yeah, you got to have your family. We got that. You only marry into, you're not marrying them. So therefore, you have to set the boundary of saying, hey.
I don't think that's what the key is. Only unto her.
No, keep what I'm saying, because
that's about sexual orientation.
No, it's more than just that. Because it's everything, because when you look at it, if I'm only keeping you, mm-hmm. meaning just you, mm-hmm. that means anything that is attached to you that is yours is also now mine.
Right.
So understand, because granted, there are some things people would like to insert themselves because of how they are connected to you.
That's true.
But that's not what that's saying. Because me and you are going to paradise, it does not mean I have to take everybody that is connected to you. No, because it's only me and you.
Right.
Because when you go back and look at it, he told Abraham, said, Abraham, get thy wife Sarah and get out of thy father's country. He told him to leave. Take your wife and roll. And so that's why. Because it's just me and you.
That's good.
You see what I'm saying? And so, but that's why you have to understand. It's like, okay, listen. You have to set up boundaries in the beginning. That's where this thing come into play, so there would be no confusion.
That's true. So as you're setting up the boundaries, understanding that we are speaking to more common families, but if you are in a culture where the family dynamics are different because you bring in, you know, your family, your parents, or you bring in, you know, whatever, then that's different. Because that's your culture. So you have to establish those boundaries as you are getting ready to get married to determine how are we going to move forward. What is this going to look like for us once we get to that point? So now we have to bring in our families.
But the thing is that it's just because I have a buddy of mine that lives in Canada, that culture is different.
Right, right.
But, you know, in our conversation, it's like, yo, even though our families are there, it's still us.
Right.
So when we make a decision, it's our decision.
And
it has no other.
Has
it
right.
has. It has no. It don't include everybody. It's just them.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And so that's what I'm saying. Even in that, you have to know because when you look at it, when God told Abraham to take his wife Sarah and leave, what did Abraham take? He took Lot with him. You see what I'm saying? So when you sit back and look at that, I was like, hold on, well, he took family with him.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what he did, what Abraham did with Sarah, it had no effect because of Lot.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So understanding that when you set these things, it is between you two.
Right, right. Because you both have to do it separately, because it asks the groom first.
Right.
And then they go and they ask the bride.
Uh-huh.
The same thing. The groom says, I will. And he makes that decree that he will, and then the pastor turns and asks the bride the same thing.
The same thing.
Will thou have this man to be thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will thou love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in the sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him, so as long as you both shall live?
Right. I just had an awesome idea.
What's that?
I have to tell you after this.
Okay.
At this program.
Write it down or something so you don't forget.
Oh, I'm going to forget. It's
okay.
Hot. It's hot.
So understanding that. So then it goes into the bride confessing that she will and decreeing that she will. So then the pastor asks the bride, or asks them both, you, bride, and you, groom,
uh-huh.
having come to me signifying your desire.
Signifying.
To be formally united into marriage and being assured that no legal, moral or religious barriers hinder this proper union.
Meaning no legal. Meaning you don't have another marriage and you try to
do that
because you ain't divorced. Legally.
Let's pause there for just a minute.
Make
sure that you are
legally
divorced.
Legally. If you're coming into a second marriage that you have legally ended the separate the first one. All right.
No, it ain't just separated.
Legally divorced. Right. Divorce. I mean, you got the this the stamp, the judge's word, the whole nine.
Not that it's in process. Right. Not that we separated.
No. No.
But you are legally divorced.
Right.
All
right.
Let's clear that one. moral or religious barriers hindering this proper union, I command you to join your right hand and give heed to.
I command you to join your right hands
and give heed to the question now asked you. So now that we are joined.
These are left hands. No, wait a minute, that's your right.
I was going to say, this is my right, baby. What are you talking about?
Y'all listen. It's been a long day. Praise the Lord.
Now that we are joined together, connecting and touching to one another, we're asking you this. Groom, we're asking the groom first. In taking the woman whom you hold by the right hand to be your lawful wedded wife, I require you to promise to love and cherish her, to honor and sustain her in sickness and in health, in poverty as in wealth, in the bad that may darken your days, and in the good that may lighten your ways, and to be true to her in all things unto death alone shall part you. Do you so promise?
I promise. I promise.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then they ask the bride the same thing. In taking the man whom holds you by the right hand to be your lawful and wedded husband, I require you to promise to love and cherish him, to honor and to sustain him in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, in the bad that may darken your days, in the good that may lighten your ways, and to be true to him in all things unto death alone shall part you. Do you so promise? I do.
You promise.
So as you promise, one of the things that I want you to make sure that you highlight, again, these are different vows. You might write your own vows, but here's something that I just wanted to highlight.
Well, it's still the gist of everything, though, you know.
So then to be true to her and to be true to him in all things unto death alone shall part you. This is so extremely important.
Right.
That you are true
to, you.
To each other.
Right.
In communication.
Mm-hmm.
And your offenses,
yep.
And your hurts,
yep.
And your pains,
come on.
And your insecurities,
right.
And everything that is about you,
right.
It's so important for you to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you aren't true and you hold it and it balls up, that's when a lot of things start to take place in your marriage, right. And you don't understand where stuff is coming from sometimes, right. Because you've harbored and for so long you've done so many different things to try to please somebody else or to please someone else, and now you're sitting in a situation where you're trying to figure out where and how the heck did we get here,
right?
And I don't even know where this is coming from,
right?
Make sure that you are being true to each other.
Right. And in order to be true to each other, you got to know how to be true to yourself.
Right.
Because if you can be true to yourself, it should not be a problem with you being true to your spouse.
Right.
You know, because guess what? If you have insecurities, be true. Just be, this is my insecurity. So that you'll be able to talk about it. And where everybody can truly, when I say everybody, all parties involved, which is you and him, that there it can be clear to say, oh, well, if you're like when we first got married, we both had insecurities that we were dealing with, but we were trying to deal with it like on our own. But if we were trying to deal with it on our own, then we wasn't being totally true with each other.
Well, I have to say, I wasn't trying to. Number one, I didn't realize it was an insecurity.
Stop being defensive.
No. I'm saying I wasn't trying to fix my insecurity.
I was trying to fix mine, champ. You know what I mean?
I didn't realize that it was an insecurity. I was just being big and bad me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it was an insecurity until years when we were inside of the marriage. And then once we realized that was something I had to fix on my own.
So it's coming to the realization what it is, right?
Right. That wasn't something that we could do together.
Amen.
That was something that I had to fix on my own because I wanted to change.
Right.
And when I decided and made that commitment to change, then I came to him, hey, listen, I realized that this is a problem that I have. This is an insecurity that I have. So as this comes up and as this is displayed in our marriage, can you help me or check me so that I can identify when it takes place in the marriage so that I can work on me being a better me?
Right. And that, I mean, and that same thing for me, because I was like, hey, no. Because one day she asked me, why do you do that? I said, I don't know why I do it. And I think I had set back, but I was like, oh, shoot. Well, this is why I do that. And she was like, oh, okay. So let me know when I'm going there so that I'll know mentally, one, I'm in a different place.
Right.
And then two, it's not how I can't basically let go of the past so that I can enjoy what the future holds.
Right. And when you're loving and comforting and cherishing one another,
it's all that comes out. Oh my God,
it's easy to do that because you have to get to a place of vulnerability.
Vulnerability, yes.
And if you can't trust your spouse to become vulnerable with you, then you have to go back to re-examine kind of why you can't be vulnerable.
Right.
Is it because you aren't protected when you're being vulnerable? Is it because you aren't being honored when you're being vulnerable?
Right.
What are some of those reasons why? And then kind of go back to the board to say, hey, listen, maybe we should check this. Maybe we should check that. Or how can we make sure that we can make a more conducive environment for us to be vulnerable with one another?
Right.
Because there are just habits and behaviors that we've carried throughout our lives that I don't think that sometimes we realize that we have or that we're doing or how we're behaving until it's identified.
Right, right, right. And that's the thing, because if you do not recognize what it is, marriage will help you to recognize what it is.
Right. That's
marriage,
for sure.
Marriage will sure enough let you know.
It will expose it.
Just like COVID-19, it will expose what's there.
You can bounce from marriage to marriage to relationship to relationship.
Until you deal with it.
But it is not going to go anywhere because you don't realize that you make the difference in how change takes place.
Right, right, right.
Whether you're the contributing factor to it or whether you are the one who you're on the receiving end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You contribute. How it takes two to argue.
Right.
You can choose not to argue.
Right. You can choose. That's right. Only a fool will argue with itself.
So, the ring ceremony.
Ooh.
So this is really nice, and we had some stuff identified in our premarital book too that I want to make sure that we communicate. But it says, the pastor says that the ring is a material symbol that has been designed to illustrate a spiritual truth.
Right.
Now, a ring has two characteristics which make it sustainable as a reminder to us of the importance of keeping Christ in our marriages.
Yes.
First, the ring is a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Circles never end. Christian marriages should never end.
Right.
They should last and last and last. Difficult times will come, but the commitment of Christians is to make their marriage go forever.
Mm-hmm.
The ring, which is a circle, is a reminder of that never-ending commitment.
Right.
Also, rings are made out of a precious metal, usually silver or gold, which is has the unusual quality of getting better and more valuable with age. Instead of wearing out or deteriorating, we pray for your love to grow and improve with age.
Mm-hmm.
So with these characteristics of your rings in mind, I ask you to exchange the rings with one another. Then the pastor asks the groom, do you give this ring to your bride as a sign of your Christian commitment to her in marriage?
I do.
Do you, bride, give this ring to your groom as a sign to your Christian commitment to him in marriage?
Do you?
I do. The ring is like a string around your finger. It reminds you of something. It's a symbol, a sign. Every time that you see your wedding ring, you will be reminded of the commitment that you made to one another here today.
Mm-hmm.
Groom, I give you this ring as a sign of our love and commitment. Bride, I give you this ring as a sign of our love and commitment. Pastor, the wedding ring is the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, signifying to all the uniting of this man and woman in a holy matrimony through the Church of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray.
Right.
He blesses the rings.
Where is that? You lost it?
Nope, he blesses the rings.
Right.
One of the things that I wanted to mention, he blesses the rings. Bless, O Lord, the giving of these rings, that they who wear them may abide in thy peace and continue in thy favor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then they provide that abiding love with this ring, I thee wed, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In token and pledge of our constant faith and abiding love with this ring, I thee wed thee, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Meaning I stand in full agreement.
Right. I stand in full agreement.
Right. I stand in full agreement with the vows. I stand in full agreement with what I've pledged here today.
Right.
I stand in full agreement from what I said to the Father that brought you down the aisle to me.
Right.
I pledge. I stand in full agreement.
Right. And then there is a prayer that is prayed over the marriage, over the wedding. And then they bless the marriage. And then there is a declaration of the marriages. One thing that I do want to make sure that I identify and signify today, because I know that there are some times where maybe due to your nature of work, you may want to not wear your ring. There are times where
get the silicone joint.
Are in a situation where maybe you lost your ring. There are certain situations where sometimes you want to exchange out your ring. You want to, you know, do something different. Like, I knew someone who she didn't necessarily wear the ring that she always had when she was married with, because based on maybe the color that she wore, the different type of, you know, jewelry that she had on, she wanted to change out that ring. So she just put on another ring to resemble that. What I need you to understand is that the ring is the significance of it, right? The ring is offering that significance and the symbol of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take this ring off and you can see that tan on your ring,
come on now,
your finger doesn't necessarily mean that you're not married.
Right.
You should be married in your heart.
In the heart.
And the reason I say that is because there were times where
I forget mine.
Not even that you would forget yours. There are times when people deliberately just don't wear their rings because they don't want to act or abide by their wedding vows.
Ooh,
right?
Ooh, you
so
hit
there
something.
There are opportunities where if you have to have a ring to signify that you're married, then maybe there is something else that you have to check within your heart, within your mind, within your space to say, well, if I didn't have the ring, am I not married?
Right, right.
If I lose the ring, am I not married?
So that
because the ring is not what holds the vows together. The ring is just a symbolism.
Symbol, right.
It's the symbol. It's the replication
of
what the Christian marriage it stands for, which means that it stands forever.
Mm-hmm. So if that's the issue, then you really have to check your heart and say, am I one? Because like I said, marriage will let you know what your insecurities are.
Right.
Because if you feel that, because even you got some people that will get married even feeling it going through the whole process.
Right. Or some people, if you don't have a certain ring, you don't want to get married. Or if you can't buy a certain ring, you don't want to propose.
So for the woman, may I real quick? So for the woman, with this lovely set that I have, my wife, is that this ring would be like the engagement, but this is that ring that says, hey, yeah, I'm all yours. You know what I mean?
So
because there's a difference.
I'm going to make it funny for everybody who's listening via podcast
or however, just for everybody listening. Audio. Baby, come on.
I will show you my engagement ring. I kept it.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. 22 years.
I'm going to have to get real close to the camera.
Stop. It's a real diamond, though. It is a real diamond.
Get close to the camera. Can you see that?
It's a real diamond. It is.
As she shows the very small ring.
Hey, 22 years, though.
But if I was caught up on the size of the ring, if I was caught up on what the ring looked like, if I was caught up in, we were 18 and 19 when we got married. When we got married. So he proposed, what was it, 6 months, 7 months before that? Or was it a year?
No, it was a full year before we actually got married.
Before that. So, he's a college student. I'm working at Dillard's or Gafers.
Gafers.
In the retail shop, waiting to go off to the military. We didn't have no money. $99.
No, it was $100.
And a single rose.
And one rose.
But I knew.
And I got down on one knee.
But I knew that this was the man that I wanted to be with for the rest of my life.
Did you know that?
As a result of that, we went through some stuff. We grew. Oh my God. Matured. We were 18 and 19. Yo, like, I was a teenager still. We were teenagers.
We're still teenagers. I'm trying to tell you, hey, don't think we ain't been through nothing.
So we had to learn and to grow and to mature together.
Mm-hmm.
But I said all that to say, because we were talking about the rings, don't let the ring be your hindrance.
Right.
If you have to take off your ring because you don't want to act like you're married, check your heart.
Check your heart. Remember, it's in the most holiest of holies.
Whether you have the ring on or not.
It's the heart.
The ring is almost like the final seal.
Right. The ring is the agreement.
Right. It's the final seal.
It's the agreement.
No, because you make the agreement before then. You make the agreement to love, to cherish, to hold, to take care of, to honor. You do all that before the ring.
But this is what I'm saying is, when you go back and read it, it said this ring seals it.
Every
covenant.
You said the agreement.
What I say?
I said it seals it.
That's what I'm saying. Meaning that, this is it.
That's the seal, baby.
Okay. We're saying the same thing, but using two different words. See what happens? This is what happens.
So, it absolutely does that. So, if you're caught up on the ring, the look, the feel, whether you should wear it, whether you shouldn't wear it, what color it should be. Granted, you want to have a beautiful ring.
We understand.
But
we
work to that.
But don't work in there. Keep your mind locked
in
that.
Don't let that be your hindrance.
Right. If you say, because if it's just the ring, or if you're looking at just the wedding, and you're not looking at the marriage, then me personally, I'm like, okay, what are we really doing this for?
Right.
It was so funny. I think for our wedding, we only paid, I don't even think we paid for nothing.
We paid for the marriage license.
That was it. $85.
That was it.
I'm
telling y'all, when I tell y'all, y'all talking about a bootleg shotgun wedding.
It was not a shotgun wedding.
He says it's not a shotgun
wedding. Ain't nobody had no shotgun.
Listen,
she wasn't knocked up, not a shotgun.
I had on a dress that I wore to the military ball.
And I had on the suit that I took her to the military ball in.
That he took me to.
I'm going to find the picture and put it up so you can see it.
We were in the church.
And they had a wedding.
Bible studied, who had just had a wedding that Saturday.
And so the decoration was still up.
We used all the decorations they left behind. My great aunt cooked a red velvet cake.
That was our cake.
And that was it.
That's it. That was it.
We had his college buddies come up.
And my college buddies.
In the wedding.
Yeah, my man Conahead, one time for you, baby. Walked her down the aisle. My man Trav was the best man.
And 22 years later.
Here we are, still rocking it.
I'm not saying don't have a beautiful, elaborate wedding. If that's what you want, do that.
But I am
saying don't go into a whole lot of debt to create the wedding that you want when you haven't worked on your marriage.
Ooh, Lord.
I am going to say that.
Oh, God. That right there made me sink in my seat. Jesus. Ooh, Lord.
Because you go and spend $30,000 on a wedding and you divorced in 5 years, that means you carrying a debt from the wedding. And everything else y'all created within them 5 years.
And the debt from the divorce.
You could, right, and the debt, like I said, from everything you created in them 5 years and the divorce. So now you are sitting in a situation where you're miserable, kind of got to check the balances on that and then walk away with your shame and your guilt. And you shouldn't have to go through that
right.
Because you're getting your divorce.
So,
I'm saying is just make sure that you prioritize what's important.
Right. And
the
wedding
is cute. But the marriage is important.
The wedding is cute, but the marriage should be beautiful.
Right.
So as we close,
we got the declarations of marriage.
Oh, but we ran out of game.
Okay, we almost there. I promise you, real, real quick. So, bride and groom, since you have committed yourselves to a lifetime of love.
A lifetime of love.
Before God and these witnesses, and since you have agreed to meet the needs of each other.
You have agreed to meet the needs of each other.
My God.
I feel like shouting. Oh, glory.
As long as you both live,
uh-huh.
And you have made your intentions public, acting in the authority vested in me by God and his church.
And his church.
I now pronounce you husband and wife. What therefore God has joined together,
let no man
put asunder. For as much as the bride and the groom have covenanted together in marriage and have declared the same before God and in the presence of this company, I pronounce them husband and wife in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may
kiss your bride.
The bride. What therefore God has joined together, let
no man
put asunder. Honey. So,
kiss me.
I just want to make sure that we are fully aware of everything that the vows cover and the importance of the vows. Eric and I have kind of extensively gone through this just because I think sometimes we lose sight.
Yeah.
How many of us, if we don't renew our vows, go back to review the vows?
Right.
Ooh. So just as you are going back and you're listening to the podcast, you're listening, check in with one another. Check in to be like, you know what? Is there, how am I doing in this area?
Right.
Are there any ways that I can improve the wedding vows to make sure that, you know, we continue this thing to make it fresh, to make it new, to make it holy, to make it live, to make it something that we want to enjoy for the rest of our lives.
For the rest of our lives, yes. And that is so key, because that's how you're able to keep one another. That's how you're able to sustain, because when you understand the scripture helps us out so much, because it tells us that he says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Yeah. So that means doing that, even during your darkest hour, you have to understand that, Lord, I found my favor. I need your help here. And so when God provides those moments for you to recognize, hey, this is me helping, take it.
Right.
Take it. And that's the thing, man. Sometimes we got to go back and look at the vows that you have made to one another and ask yourself,
right,
man, am I still holding to this covenant? Am I still doing what I'm supposed to do with this covenant? Or have I allowed my heart to harden and it has now become a contract?
Right.
Mm.
And before we leave out, one of the scriptures that I want to leave with you as we get ready to
pray.
We didn't, but we're going to pray as we end. That I wanted to just leave with you. Romans 15:5-6 says that may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So as we end, we thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes.
God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your righteous name, because you are a great God. You are a good God. You are a holy God.
Yes.
We thank you, God, for the wisdom. We thank you for the insights. We thank you for the knowledge, the nuggets, the encouragement, the strength, God, that you have given us and the ability over our marriages, over our homes.
Yes.
And we just ask, God, that even now that you would bring peace in every household.
Yes, God.
That you would drop peace, God, in every home, God, that is represented, that is listening. And we just ask that you would continue to just keep them in perfect harmony with you.
Yes.
That you would breathe over their marriages, that you would restore, that you would rekindle, that you would just have your way, God, in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
We love you. We magnify you.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you.
Yes. So, signing off, this your boy, E-Rocknim.
This your girl, Tamika.
Marriage Takeover. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.